KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Dirk Smith joins us, Vice President of EEM. Dirk, thanks for taking the time.
Steve, great to be with you.
Dirk, for those not familiar, I know you've been on the show before, but briefly, EEM, and I kind of want to go there because of its origins and then what we're going to be talking about as far as geography, why the name change in the brief history.
Yeah, that's a great question, Steve. Yeah, EEM used to stand for Eastern European Mission. And that's what we were founded in 1961. That's what we were founded as because that's where we were working. I mean, we were in Eastern Europe, the former communist bloc nations. But now last year we delivered Bibles. We publish, print, and distribute Bibles and Bible-based materials. And what I tell people is, here's the differentiator for EEM. These are not Bibles looking for people. These are people looking for their Bible. Every one of our Bibles has a name on it. So last year we were in 37 different countries, 33 different languages, and these are all requests. These are people who are saying, we want a Bible, and we know who it's for, or it's the person asking for it. So each of these Bibles has a name on it. We did a little over 2 million books last year.
Wow. 2 million people receiving the word of, and then they're continuing to, and I'm glad that you kind of went into that brief history. So with that being said, Dirk, the people of Iran are asking for the word of God, and EEM is being a part of reaching out to the spiritually hungry people in Iran.
Yeah.
Go ahead and speak to how maybe that got started.
Yeah. Of course, some may remember when all the turmoil happened back in 2015, 2016, and all these Muslim refugees coming out of Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, other Middle Eastern countries were pouring into Greece. And so we jumped into at the time, which was a big jump to do Farsi and Arabic language Bibles because we had never done them. And then we have a children's Bible and we have a teen Bible. So we went into production on those. And the children's Bible is a great reader. It's animated. I mean, it's illustrated. It's a great reader. Same thing with the teen Bible. It's actually biblical text, but it's got illustrations. So we jumped into that. And then things kind of slowed down and we honestly wondered, okay, God, why did you have us? That was a lot of work. I mean, we went through a lot of effort to get these books up and ready. And because that's production wise, that's a big job. So of course, now today we've got a situation in our hands and people are watching the news. Who knows what this is going to look like, Steve? I mean, this is going to be just like it was when the wall came down in Berlin. And we were poised, thankfully, prayerfully, we were set up in a way at that time that when the wall came down, we had thousands of Bibles ready to go. And again, the Spirit led us into that and we had them ready. So our prayer right now and our message to people is, man, support these ministries that are gearing up. Like we're gearing up right now with our children's Bible and our teen Bible. I know Elam Ministries is out there. They're gearing up. Biblica, Transform Iran, Iran Alive. I mean, a lot of different ministries are really gearing up because when this thing opens up, we have no idea what that's going to look like. It's going to be huge.
Well, I tell you, as you're sharing that, scripture comes to mind, Dirk, and I think you'll see quickly where I'm going. Galatians chapter 4, I believe verse maybe 4 or 5, when the perfect time came, God sent his son. Amen. And God's timing, here you made all these Bibles and, things cooled off a little bit, but, hindsight, you look back and go, you imagine God saying, all right, guys, chill, it's coming. Yeah. It's coming. And here we are. I have to think it's got to be exciting to be hearing from partners or contacts from Iran about the spiritual hunger and interest in scripture among people there.
Well, and Stephen, that's been going on. People may not be aware, but the fastest movement of the church, growth of the church right now is in Iran. The underground church there is growing quicker than anywhere else on the globe. And it really is a result of what we see scripture tell us. Where there's persecution, when the church is persecuted, it grows, because it's the parable of the sower. The seed is falling on good soil. Well, what makes good soil? Good soil means it's churned up and it's cultivated. Well, when you have stress in your life, and we're all that way, individually, I think anybody listening would, if they look back on their life and they look at times when they had stress, they had trials, they had issues going on, if they hung on to God through that, because he's hanging on to you, but if they hung on to God, they will look back at those times and say, those were the most significant growth times in my life. And yeah, that's what's happening. You know, and we've seen this, you know, the urgency, we always are ready, because we live in, at EEM, we live in an urgency. We get a door open. We don't know how long that door is going to stay open. So we've got to jump through it when we can. And that's what we urge our donors, our financial ministry partners. Boy, help us be prepared. We want to be prepared at all times. You know, of course, that's biblical too. Be prepared. We don't know. We don't know when the bridegroom is coming. So whether that's an open door to provide God's word to people or in our own lives, you know, we need to be reading. We need to have a heart for the lost constantly, no matter where they are, and be ready to walk through or run through those doors when they open up.
Yeah. And actually, before we move on, let me give this out. EEM.org is the website. It's easy to navigate. Right at the beginning of the logging on, you'll see where there's an opportunity for you to give Bibles, to be a part of what's happening that way. As we press on through our conversation, Dirk, you kind of, you know, I've done a handful of short-term mission trips, and one of the things that I learned in doing that with those who do it regularly is, you know, often not having done it, you can have a mentality of, man, we're going to go down there, we're going to show them, you know, in a good way. But the truth is, there's a real way to meet culture and people where they are to most effectively ensure the work that we're doing aligns and supports those local believers and ministries. In what ways is EEM accomplishing that?
Yeah, Steve, that, man, you're jumping up on one of my soapboxes. You know, and I've spent some time in the last few years just really meditating on Jesus's admonition to us to be salt and light. And when you think about that, oftentimes when we preach that or we hear that preached, it's about not being there. Okay, there's no light. And so people are tripping around. You got to be, get out there, be light. You know, there's no salt. The food has no taste. You know, you got to be salt. But we don't really talk about too much light or too much salt. I mean, when there's too much light, what does everybody do? Whoa, turn that down. You're blinding me. And if there's too much salt, the food is putrid. You can't eat it. When it is right, when the light is right, the light doesn't get noticed. The room does. Mm. When the salt is right, the salt doesn't get any attention. It gets no notice at all. The food gets accentuated, and people talk about the food. That's our job. Our job is to not necessarily be noticed, not be absent, because if we're not there, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, literally. But right.
So how do we do that? Our goal is to work with the indigenous people everywhere we work, mm-hmm. because that's going to be not noticed. An American walking in, we get noticed. Immediately, we get noticed. So the best thing that we have found is to work with the indigenous people, let them open the doors, and then be that come alongside ministry that says, hey, you need Bibles? Here you go. You've got them. And we're going to provide them to you in these last year, like I said, 37 different countries, 33 different languages. But we walk through with them, but behind them, letting them lead the way. and really many times not seen. We're just that silent partner that comes in and helps them.
Well, listen, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Dirk Smith. He's the vice president of EEM, and we are talking about Bible distribution in Iran. So timely. Dirk, we're up against a break. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more with Dirk Smith and EEM on ABQ Connect.
Connect.
We're in the midst of a conversation with Dirk Smith. He's the vice president of EEM, currently distributing Bibles in Iran and elsewhere. I think, Dirk, you said 31 countries. Continuing to do that work, the website is EEM.org. You can go there now. It's a nonprofit organization. If you're hearing things that are spurring you to, I want to be part of what's happening with reaching out to those who need a Bible in Iran. And Dirk, I'm assuming that's Christians and non-Christians alike.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, when you've been doing something like this as long as EEM has, and, you know, you have to daily be hearing stories. Is there any story that stands out that you want to share with the KLYT listener?
Yeah, you know, I guess with all the peace talks, you know, the news right now is all the peace talks, and we tend to, as believers, especially in this country, there's a real possibility and really a fear and a concern that we become nationalist Christians. I mean, I'm gonna rely first and foremost on my nation. And then God's going to come in and work with that kind of a thing. And so I hear some verbiage sometimes like that. And I'm always reminded of a story that I experienced when I was in Greece a number of years ago, like I said, when all these refugees were coming into Greece. And I met a guy named Masood who was from Afghanistan, from the Middle East. And I had become friends with him. I come back and now I see this other guy that is also from Afghanistan. His name is Yasser. And this ministry that we were coming alongside of, they were feeding 600 to 700 Middle East refugees in this big room. They're feeding them a spaghetti dinner. And I get there and I see Masood and I meet Yasser briefly, but then I notice that Masood and Yasser are working side by side on the food line. And you can tell they're friends, because they're, you know, flicking a spaghetti noodle at each other and they're laughing and they're having a great time. They're working hard, but they're playing too. So afterwards, I go up to Masood. I said, "Hey, Masood, great to see you." We hug. And I said, "Now, Yasser, you know, tell me about you guys' relationship. Now, you're both from Afghanistan, right?" "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Okay, were you guys friends in Afghanistan?" They both laughed. And Masood looks at me and says, "Dirk, no. I'm Shia. He's Sunni."
Yeah.
In our country, we're mortal enemies. But in Jesus, we're brothers. Now, Steve, for those listening, if they don't know what that means, just Google it. Shia and Sunni. But what has the power to break down the walls of a 1,500-year-old holy war? New peace treaty? New president, new ambassador. No. How many of those have come and gone? One thing. Jesus, the Prince of Peace.
Yeah. Amen.
He's the answer. He is the only answer. And that's what we're seeing take place. So in Iran, one of the craziest things that I'm hearing and I'm seeing and I'm witnessing, the growth of the church there is happening by the women who are being abused, turning and discipling their abusers. Now, dude, I don't know about you, but that's an upside down culture. That's crazy. That makes no sense, but that's Jesus. I mean, they're looking at their abusers, and now with a heart that is infused with the Spirit, they have compassion. And they're seeing them in need of Jesus. and they're risking everything. I had somebody recently ask me on an interview, you know, is it dangerous? I mean, when is it too dangerous for people to share the gospel? And I said, too dangerous? I mean, I hear these prayers in our churches all the time. God gives us safety. I don't find that in Scripture. I'm looking for it, but I don't see any of the apostles praying for safety. I don't see that. And I get it. I get we don't want to be martyrs and we don't want our kids to die. We want that. But I don't see that prayer. I see a prayer for boldness. I see a prayer. I mean, if there were 12 guys or 11, I mean, Judas, but then, you know, Matthias comes in. You got 12 guys that should have gotten an exemption from struggles on this earth. Should have been the apostles, right? But all of them died martyrs' death, with the exception of John, who was boiled alive, but somehow lived. You know, I don't know how he did that. They all suffered. It's part of, if I am an all-in disciple for Jesus, I'm going to share it. I'm going to share it not because I have to. I mean, not because I'm being told and forced to, because I can't help it. It just comes out of me. I have to talk about him.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know, probably close to 20 years ago now. I have six grown kids, and my daughter is third in line. And when she was probably about 15, wanted to go on a mission trip with a large organization that would take her to Zambia, Zimbabwe, South Botswana, South Africa, all on this one trip. And listen, she was 15 going on 30. But she had a real desire to go share the love of Christ with people there. And those, you know, those aren't the worst necessarily countries when it comes to safety in Africa, but you know, we're talking about a 15-year-old going to Deep Sloot, South Africa. Look it up if you don't know, near Johannesburg. And I remember at the time having a real peace about, obviously as a dad being concerned, you know, about safety. But at the same time is, Lord, how can I say no when she's raising her hand and saying, here I am, send me. And understanding, when you go out on these trips and you're talking about Iran, and you said it well, no one wants, you know, all right, you know, they did it. They died a martyr's death. We don't, you know, we're not sitting here wanting that for anyone. But you're talking about people that are all in, now with the safety in mind, you know, how does EEM approach that? Not only for staff and partners that you're dealing with, but those that you're trying to reach, is that something that has to be considered, as you're working in areas like this?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And that's been a part of our DNA for a very, very long time. You know, when we were smuggling Bibles, behind the Iron Curtain. So yeah, you don't want to be stupid about it, because you know, you want people to get God's word and not expose them. And so they're, you know, I think we're called to be, you know, what is, you know, we're told to be shrewd, you know, we're told to do that. And so, yeah, there are a lot of ways that we go about that, and partners that we work with who are very shrewd so many of that stuff we don't talk about, you know, a lot of details and how that's happening. Now, if and when this door opens up and Iran gets freedom, boy, we better be ready. That's what we're trying to do right now is scale up with our children's Bibles and our teen Bibles in Farsi. You know, we went into a project with Transform Iran and Biblica. There's about 4 million Muslims in northern Iran that speak Gilaki, and there had never been a Bible in that translation before. So we worked together with them. We came in and just kind of helped get it across the finish line. So now there is a translation, and we've printed about 30,000 of them, I think, and, you know, more on the way. So, you know, gearing up with those as well for those folks. When that door opens up, we just have to be ready to go through it.
Yeah. And again, I've mentioned the website. I really want to encourage you to go and see in more detail the work that's being done by EEM. It's EEM.org. And prayerfully consider how you'll support this ministry. There's a place there for you to financially support the distribution of Bibles. We'd also encourage you to spend time in prayer. And you know what? There's a way to contact the ministry. I can't tell you how I am blessed anytime, whether it's email or snail mail or face-to-face. Listeners of KLYT will tell me how they're blessed by the programming. It lets us know the work that we're doing is effective, and it spurs us on to more good work. You want to speak to that at all, Dirt?
Yeah, we covet people's prayers. Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that. We absolutely covet their prayers. And yeah, we would love to get their feedback. Love to hear that this is encouraging them. It's spurring them on. One thing we have found is, honestly, our supporters are Bible readers. They recognize the power of God's word, and we hear from them that it spurs them on to really continue in that vein and to share with other people, to be more disciple makers in their own communities, because they're realizing there are people in much harsher situations in geographies that are doing that. And they look at themselves and say, well, what am I doing? You know, I could do that. So yeah, we would love to get feedback from people. So yeah, there's ways that they can communicate with us, and we would love to have their support. I mean, every Bible for less than $5, you provide a Bible in someone's hands. I mean, right now we're in our Bibles for Kids campaign, goal of 725,250 Bibles in 21 different languages. It's a matching fund campaign. So the nice thing right now is every $5 you give, you're not just giving one, you're giving two, because of some very generous donors who have stepped up and said, hey, we're going to match dollar for dollar, Bible for Bible. So we would love to have people pray for us, support us, become a part and a partner in this ministry.
I love that. Look, we're up against the clock, Dirk, and I do want to toss it right back to you and make sure there's nothing left unsaid that you want to make sure you share.
No, Steve, just thanks for having me on. Appreciate the work that you do. And thank you to all the listeners.
All right. Well, we've been visiting with Dirk Smith. He's the vice president of EEM. The website again is EEM.org. Dirk, as things progress in Iran, and then, hey, who knows, you know, only God knows what's next. We'll have to have you back on.
Would love to be back with you. And amen. Let's keep praying for Iran.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.